Good morning. As we have the baptism today, it's an encouraging time to see young people want to stand up for the Lord. And I just want to encourage them and us as we continue in this Christian pathway. And as you grow in your life as a Christian, you will go through trials. And I don't mean to say this to discourage, but I say this to encourage you that during these trials, that God is going to be with you. And you know, whenever you make a stand for God, the enemy will seek to attack and will seek to, you know, discourage you. And we're going to look at a couple places in Scripture that the Lord encouraged those who were discouraged. It reminds me of a scripture in Luke chapter 24. They were disciples who were discouraged when they were heading back from seeing Christ being crucified. And it says that in that scripture, it says that he opened the scriptures to them and he encouraged them through the open scriptures. And I want to look at a few open things that he opened to us. And we could turn to John 20. And the first one we're going to look at is when we are, I would say, we could be in forms of depression or we could be in forms of despair, right? Sometimes we have forms of despair, and this is how the Lord uses different things to help us. So we turn to John 20 and verse 10. And it says, "Then when the disciples went away again unto their own home, but Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and see two angels in white sitting, the one on the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? And she saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when he had thus said this, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, say unto them, Sir, if thou have borne him, hence tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus said unto her, Mary. And she turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. Go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, and to your Father, and to my God, and your God. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples what she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. And here is the open tomb. This is how the Lord encourages us. He encourages us by looking at what he has accomplished. He had conquered both death, he had conquered sin, and there is an open tomb, an empty tomb. And I just want to encourage us here is that she was in despair. And we all go through times of despair. We all go through times of trouble when we are discouraged. We're discouraged by maybe the things around us or something has happened to us. With her, she just couldn't live with the thought of not having Christ in her life, not having Christ being alive. And she was discouraged, but the discouragement had blinded her eyes. And that's what happens to us. When we go through despair, when we go through times of trouble, when we go through times when we're having troublous times, and trust me, we've all gone through troubled times. If you live long enough, you have been through troubled times. I can speak for myself. There have been some dark times, but sometimes when we go through those times, our eyes are blinded. And she was blinded. She came there. And if she was weeping, she was crying, she was in a place of deep despair. And she looked into the sepulchre, but her vision was blinded. And I'll tell you why. Because she wasn't expecting to see the Lord alive. She asked, where did they lay him? So she was expecting to see a dead person. She was expecting to see somebody in the tomb. And she asked, where did they lay him? The next thing I could tell you, that her despair had clouded her vision, because she saw the Lord and she didn't recognize him. And sometimes when we're in those times of despair, the Lord is with us, but we cannot see it. We cannot see it because the despair has clouded our vision. The enemy has come in and caused fear and doubt and all kind of things to cloud our hearts. But it's always the Lord Jesus Christ's voice that brings us back. And it's us reading the scriptures. This is how he speaks to us today, is by us reading the scriptures, by us praying. And it says that she didn't recognize him. She said, "Is it the gardener?" Right? She didn't recognize him. But as soon as he said, Jesus said to her, "Mary," she turned herself and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." And that's the thing, is that we know the Lord Jesus Christ's voice. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you could know his voice. You know his voice this morning. You know that he's calling out to you. Even in those dark times, even in those times of trouble, he's reaching out to you. He's calling out to you by your name. And that's the beautiful thing, is that we have a Savior who knows us intimately. He is a Savior that he knows our name. You know, sometimes you may go meet with somebody. You know what I'm saying? You're going through times of trouble. You're going through the despair. You know, you may try to see a therapist. You may try to talk to somebody. But they don't know you intimately like the Lord Jesus Christ knows you. He's the one who can say, "Mary." And just by that word, she turned herself. And when she turned herself, she can see that it was the Lord. And all she can say is, "Master." And that "Master," to me, it means that she had said that, you know what? She's given all control. So sometimes when we're in that position of despair or in trouble, which you find yourself in sometimes, we can have faith that we have a Master. We have a person who knows our name, who knows us intimately, but also a Master who will take care of us. You know what I'm saying? He will take control. And she said, "Master," as in to take control. But it also that it says that she wrapped her hands around him. She grabbed onto the Lord and she didn't want to let go. Right? But that's the thing, is that when we go through trouble, the Lord shows another character of himself. Right? Is that now he tells her, "Look, I'm a risen Lord," right? "This is who I am." Now she's known him in a more intimate way. And I just want to encourage us that when we go through trials, the Lord is showing us something else of himself. To use it to see that, you know, the Lord is saying, you know, this is not only who I am. Yes, he's our deliverer through that problem. He's our Savior. Yes, he saved us. He's doing all these things, but he's showing us another way. He's showing us another thing. So that's what we can say. All things work together for good to those who love him. So that's the open tomb. So whenever you feel yourself going through trouble and despair, we could look back and say, you know, the Lord has conquered. He's conquered both death and hell. You know what I'm saying? He has brought us into this place. It's because of him we are where we are, and we can be encouraged. So that's the open tomb. As we go down further, there was somebody else who was discouraged. And there was a disciple called Thomas. And it says in verse 24, it says, "But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see the print of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. And then Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and saying, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither into my hands, and thrust it into thy side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God." And I'll stop there. And this is the Lord encourages us with his open wounds. How do we know that the Lord Jesus Christ loves us? It's because of what he did on the cross. And Thomas had doubt. And I'm not going to berate Thomas, right? Because we all have doubt. We all have doubt in our Christian life. We all have doubt. The enemy comes in and tells us, well, this can't be true. You're not a Christian. You did this wrong thing. You did this bad thing. It's all kind of doubt. And doubt's another thing that clouds our vision. And it says here that Thomas didn't come the week before because he said, oh, this can't be true. The Lord Jesus Christ rose again, you know. Even though he walked with the Lord Jesus Christ, he's seen all the miracles. He walked with the Lord Jesus Christ all the time, but doubt set in. But I love the grace and the mercy of the Lord. The Lord could have came to him and said, look, you see, you know, sometimes we act that with people, right? They doubt, oh, you should believe. The Lord came in, he said, peace be unto you. You know what I'm saying? That's where the Lord Jesus Christ came in. He said, peace be unto you. Is that he wants us all to have peace. And the way we can have peace is by trusting in him. By removing all doubt from our lives and putting our whole trust in him. And it never said that Thomas put his hands in. The Lord Jesus Christ said, well, put your hands in, but never said that he did. But I believe once he saw those wounds and he saw, he could have seen. Imagine what the Lord Jesus Christ went through. I mean, it was common knowledge that what he had went through, the agony and the pain, the scourging, the beating, all the things that he went through. And when he saw those, wounds, those open wounds, there was only one response. And Thomas answered and said, "My Lord and my God." So these are two different phrases. Why he said, "My Lord and my God"? Well, "my Lord" means that you're basically giving your life over to him. You're surrendering your life to him. You make him Lord of your life. "My God" means that you're recognizing who he is, right? His deity, who he is, his person, right? The Lord Jesus Christ is God, right? And so sometimes we don't acknowledge that fact. He is God. He's all knowing. He knows everything. He can do the impossible. That's who God is. But he also is my Lord. There's something that in order for you to get removed all doubt, you have to make him Lord of your life. You have to surrender all to him. Sometimes we hold back things. We hold back doubt and say, "Well, you know, I believe in the Lord." But one time you don't have the money to pay your bills, you start to doubt. I've been there. There's been times when you don't know where, you know, you're going to get this next job or you're going to do this next thing, and you start to doubt. But when you can have peace, as the Lord says, "Peace be unto you," you can have peace by having him be Lord of your life and surrendering all to him. And that's what Thomas realized. Thomas realized, you know what? This person loves me so much. There's no reason for me to doubt. There's no reason for me to have to doubt in anything that's going on. I could give myself wholly to him. Is the Lord of your life? Do you recognize him as God? I'm encouraging you to do so today. The next one is in Acts chapter 7. And this is encouragement in times of persecution. You will be persecuted for standing up for the Lord. And I won't go into the whole story, but Stephen was a man of God. Stephen was a person who was full of faith. The Bible talks he was full of the Holy Spirit. He was a person who was, he was sold out for the Lord. And he went to preach, and people didn't like what he was saying. And this is the same thing today. If you preach for the Lord today, you will be persecuted. The world doesn't want to hear anything that the Lord Jesus Christ has to say. And I want to encourage you, young people, that you're going to have to stand up for the Lord one day. It's not enough to be quiet. It's not enough to stand down, but you have to stand up for the Lord. And it says that this young man, he stood up. But what happened is that in verse 54, it says, "When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into the heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, 'Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God.' And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' And when he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, the Lord laid not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep." And here is the open heaven. In order for us to be able to continue in this pathway, we have to look at the Lord Jesus Christ in glory. We have to realize that he's conquered. Again, as we said before, we have to realize that he's coming back for us. We have to realize that we have to look at that. That's our destination. Our destination is heaven. This is not our home as we walk this scene. And it says here that this young man, he was going through persecution. He was preaching for the Lord. And imagine you preaching and people are trying to drag you out, trying to gnash. It says gnash out him with their teeth. They dragged him out of the city and they tried to stone him. I mean, that takes great faith. That's a person who's fixated on Christ. He's not worried about the situation. He's not worried about the problems. He's not worried about anything. And I wish to the Lord that I could have faith like this. That as we looked at, you know, there's going to be times when we're going to be persecuted for our faith. There's going to be times when we're going to go through trouble. But if you look at the Lord Jesus Christ and you fixate your eyes on him, you know what? It doesn't mean anything. You know what I'm saying? And so he's here being stoned and he's looking at the Lord. It says that he saw the Lord heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And they cried out with all of it. They started stopping up their ears. They didn't want to hear anything. But he continued to preach. They dragged him out of the city. He continued to speak the Lord. And you know what? Even when they were doing all these things to him, his things was that, Father, forgive them. That's the same way the Lord Jesus Christ was on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them. He said, don't lay this sin to their charge. He said he was actually acting like the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you look at the Lord Jesus Christ in glory, in heaven, that you will start to change. The Bible says that you change from glory to glory. That you will start to change. You'll start to talk like him. You'll start to walk like him. And I want to encourage you guys, you young people, that as you get persecuted, continue looking at the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't focus on the people. Don't focus on the circumstance. Don't focus on any of those things. Focus on the Lord. And you'll see that your countenance will change. And people will see that they're different. And you know what? You may say, well, what did he accomplish here? You know, the people stoned him to death. The people killed him. What did he accomplish? But I'm telling you what he accomplished. It says here that they laid it at the feet of a young man named Saul. That young man named Saul became Paul. And he became one of the most fervent Christians ever. I believe this had an impact on his life. I believe that he saw this Stephen give his life for the Lord. I believe he saw him and said, you know what? I want to be sold out for the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was a person, he didn't care about death anymore. He was a person who went to every place. He didn't care. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He was in jail. He didn't matter because he was sold out for the Lord. But I believe it first started here. I believe when he got saved, he remembered the things that Stephen went through. And he said, you know what? This person, he was sold out. He went, dragged out the city. Let me tell you, if people dragging me out of the city, I'm not saying forgive them. I'm trying to run away. I'm trying to get away. He was focused on the Lord. He knew that even if he died, it was going to be gain because he was going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is something that we should have, be encouraged with. Just one more in Acts chapter 12, verse 5. We'll read from verse 5, 12, Acts chapter 12, verse 5. And Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and the light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, that it was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. And when they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened them to his own accord. And they went out and passed one through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And Peter saw, and when Peter was come to himself, he saw, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And I want to say with all assurance that once you're saved forever. But there's sometimes we can feel that we're imprisoned. We can feel that we're imprisoned by, it could be addiction or sin or anything that is keeping us from having total and full communion with the Lord. And I want to use that application here that Peter was tied between two soldiers. And I want to use these two soldiers as, you know, the lust of the flesh or the pride of life. These are things that can keep us tied down as Christians. And these are things that affect us in our Christian life. But I want to encourage us. It says that the Lord came here and he shunned the light. And the encouragement here for us is that we have to get back to the Word of God. The light that guides us is God's Word. God's Word is a light unto our path. And it says, the angel of the Lord shined the light in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up. And I want to encourage us here that when we smote Peter on his side, I believe that he was jump-starting his heart, his affections, that's on his side, right? That the Lord Jesus Christ knows that we can fall into these things that can affect our lives. You know what I'm saying? That we can fall into the trap of the enemy in enticing us with the things of this world. But he wants to jump-start our affections towards him. He smote Peter on his heart, on his side. And he told him, arise up quickly. And his chains fell from his side. That, you know what? We have to be encouraged here. The Lord Jesus Christ wants to get our affections towards him, but he also wants to do things for him. So he said, arise up quickly. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And this is the encouragement I have for the young people also. Gird up thyself. How can you gird up yourself? It's with the word of God. The Bible talks about girding your loins. It says, bind on thy sandals. You know, it says, blessed is the feet of those who spread the good news, spread the gospel. Is that he wants us to spread the gospel. He wants us to spend time in his word. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. In scripture, the garment speaks about the testimony. Is that the testimony that we have, let us be those who, as we go around, let's put our garment around us. Let people be drawn to Christ by the way we live, by the way we talk, by the things that we would say. And it says here also, it says, follow me. That's the most important thing. Many people would want you to follow them. You know, there's people in your class, I mean, people who in your neighborhood, wherever you are, there are people who always are looking for people to follow them. But you don't follow them. You follow Lord Jesus Christ. You be, as I said, dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone. And it says that he said, follow me. And he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but he thought he saw a vision. And it says, as we go on, it says that the Lord opened the iron gate. And this is the open door. Is that whenever you think you're in a possible situation, you could be trapped with, you know, the guilt of sin. And, you know, the Lord says in 1 John, he says, if you sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Don't ever feel that you can't come to him. You know, the enemy tried to put that guilt on your mind, tried to trap you with that guilt. You know, don't ever feel that you're in that trapped impossible place. The Lord Jesus Christ has made a way. It says that he opened the iron gate. He opened that door for Peter to come out of. And he can open that for you to come out of also. But also it says when Peter came, and I won't read that for time's sake, but he says that he went and he told others. He went and showed himself. And that's another thing. When you go through these problems, when you go through despair, when you go through doubt, when you go through all these things, it's a testimony for you to tell other people. It's for you to tell other people. He went straight to those houses. The saints were praying for him, and he went straight to the house and he told them, this is what the Lord has done for me. And I want you to also be testimonies as you go and you're baptized today, that you go and be testimonies in your neighborhood, be testimonies at your school, wherever you go. Let people know, this is what the Lord has done for me. He has changed my life, and that he has opened the door. And if you find yourself in discouragement and despair, I've been there. Dark times. You know what I'm saying? I can say that the Lord has been there for me. The Lord, every time he was there, I can remember his open wounds. I can remember his empty, open tomb. I can remember, you know, he's opened doors in possible ways. And I could also say that there's an open heaven I could look at. So I don't have to look at this scene and look at all the problems I have. If you look at the problems that you have, you will be depressed. I can guarantee you that. But if you look at the Lord Jesus Christ, you can say that you can be encouraged. Why? Because he's both conquered both death and hell. He said in his word, he says, you know what? In this world, you will have trouble. He said that. But he said, but you can take heart. Be encouraged because I have overcome this world. Let's be encouraged with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.